Hello and welcome to your GCSE Economics Revision Podcast. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most fascinating topics on your entire specification, the nature of economics. This is the foundation of everything. Get this right and the rest of the course will make so much more sense. So grab a pen, get comfortable and let's go. Let's start with the big question. What actually is economics? At its heart, economics is the study of how people, businesses, and governments make decisions about allocating scarce resources. And that word scarce is absolutely key. Scarcity is the fundamental economic problem. It means that human wants are unlimited, but the resources available to satisfy those wants are finite. We can never have everything we want. There will always be more wants than resources to meet them. A really common mistake candidates make in the exam is to define scarcity too vaguely. Don't just say there aren't enough resources. The examiner wants you to say scarcity exists because human wants are unlimited, but resources are finite. That's the full definition, and that's what earns the mark. Now, because resources are scarce, every choice involves a trade-off. And this brings us to one of the most important concepts in all of economics, opportunity cost. Opportunity cost is defined as the value of the next best alternative foregone when a choice is made. Let me say that again, the value of the next best alternative foregone. So if a government decides to spend an extra £1 billion on the NHS, the opportunity cost might be the new schools that could have been built with that money. If you decide to spend your Saturday revising economics, excellent choice, by the way, the opportunity cost is whatever else you would have done with that time. Here's the exam tip. Always, always include the phrase next best alternative in your definition. Candidates who just say what you give up are leaving marks on the table. Let's move on to something examiners absolutely love to test, the distinction between positive and normative statements. This comes up in data response questions all the time, so you need to be confident with it. A positive statement is a factual, objective statement that can be tested against evidence. It might be true or false, but crucially, it can be verified. For example, the UK unemployment rate was 4.2% in 2023. That's positive, we can check it. A normative statement, on the other hand, is a value judgment. It contains words like should, ought to, or better. It reflects an opinion, not a fact. For example, the government should do more to reduce unemployment. That's normative. It's based on values, not evidence. The classic mistake? Candidates confuse the two. Remember, positive equals provable, normative equals opinion. A handy way to remember it? Positive is provable, normative is a value judgment. Now, let's talk about the production possibility frontier, or PPF, because this diagram is an examiner favourite. A PPF shows all the possible combinations of two goods that an economy can produce when all its resources are fully and efficiently employed. Imagine an economy that only produces two things, consumer goods and capital goods. The PPF is a curve that shows the maximum output combinations possible. Any point on the curve means the economy is productively efficient. It's using all its resources. Any point inside the curve means resources are being wasted, perhaps due to unemployment. Any point outside the curve is currently unattainable. The economy simply doesn't have enough resources to reach it yet. Now, here's the critical bit that candidates get wrong every single time. Moving along the PPF, say from producing more consumer goods to more capital goods, is not economic growth. It's just a reallocation of resources. Economic growth is shown by an outward shift of the entire PPF curve, which happens when the economy gains more resources or improves technology. Movement along equals reallocation, outward shift equals growth. Please remember that distinction. The PPF also beautifully illustrates opportunity cost. If you move from point A to point B on the curve, producing more capital goods, you have to give up some consumer goods. The consumer goods you sacrifice are the opportunity cost of producing more capital goods. The concave shape of the curve, bowing outward, reflects the law of increasing opportunity cost. As you produce more of one good, you have to give up increasing amounts of the other, because resources are not perfectly suited to producing both goods equally well. Now let's look at specialisation and the division of labour, a concept that goes all the way back to the great economist Adam Smith, who wrote about it in his landmark 1776 work, The Wealth of Nations. Specialisation means that individuals, firms, or countries focus on producing the goods and services they are best at producing. The division of labour is when the production process is broken down into separate tasks, with each worker performing just one or a few of those tasks. Adam Smith famously used the example of a pin factory. He observed that one worker making pins from scratch might produce 20 pins a day, but if 10 workers each specialised in one stage of the process, drawing the wire, straightening it, cutting it, pointing it, together, they could produce 48,000 pins a day. That's the power of specialisation. The benefits include higher productivity, lower costs, and the development of expertise. But there are drawbacks too. Workers can become bored doing the same task repeatedly, and if one part of the production line breaks down, the whole process stops. Now, money. The four functions of money are something you absolutely must know for the exam. Use the mnemonic MADS to remember them. M for medium of exchange, money is used to buy and sell goods and services. A for a store of value, money holds its value over time so you can save it. D for deferred payment, money allows you to borrow now and pay later. S for standard of deferred payment. The key one examiners test most is medium of exchange. Money solves the problem of the double coincidence of wants that existed under barter systems. Without money, you'd have to find someone who has exactly what you want and wants exactly what you have. Money makes exchange so much simpler. Let's now turn to economic systems, and this is where three famous thinkers come in: Adam Smith, Friedrich Hayek, and Karl Marx. In a free market economy, resources are allocated by the price mechanism, the forces of supply and demand. Adam Smith, writing in 1776, described this as the invisible hand of the market. Consumers and producers acting in their own self-interest, guided by prices, lead to an efficient allocation of resources without any central direction. At the other extreme, in a command economy, associated with Karl Marx, the state owns all the means of production and makes all economic decisions centrally. The Soviet Union, under communism, is the classic example. There is no price mechanism. Instead, government planners decide what to produce, how to produce it, and for whom. Most modern economies, including the UK, are mixed economies, a blend of market forces and government intervention. The government provides public goods like defence and roads, corrects market failures, and redistributes income through taxation and benefits, while the private sector drives most production and consumption decisions. A common exam mistake is to confuse Hayek with Marx. Friedrich Hayek was a strong advocate of free markets and was deeply critical of central planning. He argued in his 1944 book, The Road to Serfdom, that central planning inevitably leads to a loss of individual freedom. Marx, on the other hand, argued that capitalism exploits workers and that the state should control the means of production. Hayek equals free markets, Marx equals state control. Don't mix them up.
Now let's talk exam technique. When you see the command word define, you need a precise, concise definition, ideally one sentence that includes the key technical terms. For opportunity cost, that means the value of the next best alternative foregone. For scarcity, unlimited wants relative to finite resources. When you see explain, you need to go further. Give a definition, then develop it with an example or a mechanism. Use connective phrases like this means that, therefore, and as a result to show the examiner you're building an argument, not just listing facts. When you see analyse or evaluate, you need to weigh up arguments on both sides and reach a judgment. Don't sit on the fence. Examiners reward a clear, supported conclusion. Always use diagrams where they're relevant. A well-drawn, correctly labelled PPF can earn you marks even if your written explanation is brief. Label your axes, mark your points, and annotate the diagram to show what you're demonstrating. Common mistakes to avoid. First, confusing movements along the PPF with shifts of the PPF. A movement along the curve is a reallocation. You're producing more of one good and less of another. A shift outward is economic growth. The economy can now produce more of both goods. Second, forgetting ceteris paribus. When economists build models, they assume all other things remain equal. If an examiner asks you to explain the effect of a rise in income on demand, you should note that this assumes all other factors, like price and consumer preferences, remain unchanged. Third, being too vague with definitions. Scarcity is not just about not having enough stuff, it's specifically about unlimited wants versus finite resources. Opportunity cost is not just what you give up, it's the value of the next best alternative foregone. Precision earns marks. Now for a quick-fire recall quiz. Cover up your notes and see how you do. Question 1. Define scarcity. Answer. Scarcity is the fundamental economic problem that arises because human wants are unlimited, but resources are finite. Question 2. What is opportunity cost? Answer. The value of the next best alternative foregone when a choice is made. Question 3. What does a point inside the PPF represent? Answer. Productive inefficiency. Resources are not being fully utilised. Question 4. What is the difference between a positive and a normative statement? Answer. A positive statement is factual and can be tested against evidence. A normative statement is a value judgment based on opinion. Question 5. Name the three types of economic system. Answer. Free market, mixed, and command economies. How did you do? If you got all 5, brilliant. You're well on your way. If you struggled, go back and reread those definitions until they're second nature. So let's wrap up. Today we've covered the core building blocks of economics: scarcity and the fundamental economic problem, opportunity cost and the PPF, positive versus normative statements, specialization and the division of labor, the 4 functions of money, and the 3 types of economic system. These concepts are the foundation of your entire GCSE economics course. They will come up again and again in questions about markets, government policy, and the global economy. Master them now and you'll have a massive advantage in the exam. Keep revising, keep practicing past papers, and remember, economics is all around you. Every choice you make has an opportunity cost. Every price you see is the price mechanism at work. Once you start seeing the world through an economist's eyes, it's genuinely fascinating. Good luck with your revision. You've got this.